The podcast that you're about to hear contains acts of sex and violence. The hosts do not claim to be experts on the subjects that they present. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Brutal Nation, a podcast dedicated to lesser-known serial killers and acts of crime. I'm your host, Scott Alexander, and right across from me is Tammy Underwood. Say hi, Tam.
Hi, everybody.
Okay, you just gave me the title of this podcast.
I did.
And I got to warn our listeners ahead of time.
No, don't.
I'm going to try to be serious.
Yeah.
But with the title that she gave me, a little difficult.
Yeah, this is, well, because, you know, Wednesdays are would-be or whodunit Wednesday. And I figured,
right.
You know what? I'm going to feature a whodunit this time.
Sweet.
It's an unsolved serial killing. And it's been dubbed in the media as the tube sock killings. And
I'm
know that cracks
get over
you up
that.
Every single time I say it, but hear me out.
Hold on. I'm finding my...
Woosah, Scott. Woosah. No.
You said tube sock killing when we were setting up to do this, and I'm sitting there just shaking my head. Are you serious? Like, really?
Yeah, he
like,
thought I was
real?
Kidding. He looked at me like, you're fucking joking.
Like, give me the real name of the podcast, no, dude.
It is the tube sock killings.
Okay,
now,
lay it on me.
The opening quote I found for this is...
two socks never came out together?
H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh, okay, cool.
Which, anybody who doesn't know him, he was very kind of influential in the whole Satanic Church movement era.
Right, but he was also a great writer. I mean,
he was
a
very,
ton,
a
like,
very good philosopher.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I love Lovecraft's... stories.
Yeah. Well, this quote I picked from him is, "The oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear, and the oldest and strongest kind of fear is fear of the unknown."
Kind of true. Yeah.
Yeah. Very
I'll
true.
Try that.
Okay. So anyways, this is a set of murders that happened in the Washington area.
Oh, yay. We're back in Washington.
We're
yay.
Back in Washington.
Tube sock killings.
Yeah.
Christ.
So anyways, this is the first killings. It was a couple, Edward Smith and Kimberly Levine, while they were both attending the University of Southeastern Massachusetts at Dartmouth. They quickly fell in love, and upon graduating they met while attending there. They fell in love, and upon graduating in 1984, they moved to Kent, Washington.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So for those of you that don't know, Kent is just south and kind of a little bit east of Seattle.
Of Seattle, yes.
Your intersecting highways is going to be like 197, pretty close to I-90. I'm sorry, 167, and maybe like Highway 18.
Yes. Exactamundo. Anyways, they both worked as accountants and got engaged, planning for a wedding for the summer of 1985. Okay, now on March 9th of 1985, they decided to just get away for the weekend. They decided to go to Grant County along I-90 to just explore the area and visit some of the known tourist landmarks over there.
Where's Grant County at?
Grant County is, there's a picture, it's like kind of like that far away from the coast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, it's just right in the, it's like, north of here, south of Seattle. It's in between and a little bit east.
Oh, okay. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So they did that. What transpired during this trip is still unknown. Nobody knows what happened. However, what is known is that the following afternoon, somebody found Edward's body near the Wanapum Dam in a gravel pit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. His hands were tied behind his back, and the murderer had cut his throat. His wallet was missing, so there was absolutely no sign, and there was absolutely no sign of Kimberly anywhere.
Oh.
Okay? So when he was found, nobody knew who he was.
Right.
Okay? Their employers reported them missing on March 11th when they didn't arrive for work as scheduled and didn't answer the phone when numerous attempts had been made to contact them. And remember, this is back in the 80s. No cell phones to ping, none of that.
Right. No, exactly.
Right.
I mean, we were still using pagers and...
We weren't even using pagers back then. We weren't using pagers till the 90s.
Was that the 90s?
Yeah.
I thought that was late
90s, early 2000s.
No way. Pagers had to be like early...
No, dude.
I had a pager in 1990.
No, dude.
Yeah.
It had to have been mid-1990s.
No.
Yeah.
No, it was before I moved up here.
Don't Don't freaking argue with me because I know when I got my pager.
Well, you're different. You're never mind. Go ahead.
I'm not a beast.
Okay.
Anyways, so authorities opened a missing persons report, but they had nothing to go on for a couple of weeks. That is when the couple's car was located approximately 10 miles from where Edward's body was discovered. And that's when they linked, that was Edward, that's their vehicle.
That's a long ways away, though.
Yes, exactly.
All things considered. I mean,
you would
think you'd find the abandoned car within a 1, maybe 2 mile top radius. 10 miles, that's a hike.
Yeah, exactly. So law enforcement was desperate to locate Kimberly, but they weren't very optimistic about her still being alive, considering they had already found Edward's body and the vehicle was abandoned. Okay, the only bright side of this case, if you can call it that, was there was a single fingerprint they found on the vehicle. On the vehicle, not in the vehicle.
Oh.
On the vehicle.
Good deal, good deal.
That didn't match either Edward or Kimberly. Okay? It was 5 months later, in August of 1985, that Kimberly's remains were discovered approximately 2 miles from where Edward was found. So he's found here. 2 miles away is her body, and 10 miles away was the vehicle.
Yeah, that's kind of...
Okay. However, in 1989, 4 years later, they matched the fingerprint that was found on the vehicle to a guy by the name of Billy Ray Ballard Jr. He was a truck driver serving time on a different charge in Wyoming State Penitentiary. He was extradited back to Washington, where he actually did plead guilty to both murders, but there's speculation he even committed the crime at all.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'll get into a little bit more of that later.
Did it say why he would even admit? Because some people do that, and then they come back and go, no, there's no way. Cause like,
see, it doesn't really go into that, but I'll get into why there's speculation a little bit later. But you have to remember, no evidence was found on either body.
Right.
No DNA or anything. And the one fingerprint was on the outside of the vehicle. So, you know, it's like he could have just touched the vehicle, and that's his fingerprint.
Well, yeah.
You know, so there's no guarantee that he was even in the vehicle.
Well, yeah, with no fingerprints except for the victim's fingerprints in there.
They didn't even say, yeah. That's
you would true. Assume.
Yeah. But, I mean, it didn't say that they found their fingerprints either. It just said it didn't match them.
Well,
there was one single fingerprint that didn't match
them. Somebody drove the damn car.
That's what
and
I'm saying.
Obviously, they had to have used gloves, and it makes no sense that it would be this dude if he left a fingerprint on the outside of the car. He was so careful that he put gloves on.
Yeah, then why would he take them off and touch the outside?
Yeah, and go, you know, even before yeah. he's going to drive it, you know, in the middle of putting gloves on, he's putting gloves on because he knows, hey, I've got fingerprints, don't want to leave them in here,
yeah.
better put gloves on. Why in the hell is he going to touch the car?
Yes, exactly. Now, we're going to go on to a second couple. This was in August of 1985, also. Tacoma residents, 27-year-old Stephen Harkins and his 42-year-old girlfriend Ruth Cooper and their dog went camping for the weekend at Tule Lake in Pierce County.
24 and 42?
Yes.
Cougar. Wow.
Yeah, that was back before cougars were cougars.
She's before her time, man.
Yeah, they had plans to return home on Sunday night at some point. When they didn't show up for work at the vocational school they both were employed at, coworkers and family became quite worried. On August 14th, only 4 days later, some hikers came across Harkin's body. That's the dude.
Right.
He was wrapped in a sleeping bag and had a single gunshot wound to his head. They also discovered the dog laying nearby. It had also been shot and killed.
That's a different MO than the first one.
However, we all know that sometimes MOs change.
No, because killers evolve.
They do. Maybe he didn't like the close hand-to-hand combat from the first one.
Yeah, or it could have been at age 27, you know, what's his name, Harker?
Harkin? 27, yes.
He might be in great shape and put up a good enough fight.
That's true, too.
You know?
And I believe, I mean, because when I was reading this, I'm like, why did he have to kill the dog? And then I thought... of my ghost.
Yep.
My ghost saw somebody hurting me. He'd fuck somebody up.
Ghost is a giant German Shepherd Husky mix.
Yes. Beautiful just dog.
For those of you who haven't heard us talk about him before.
Yes. But, I mean, and he's very, very protective. Very protective.
Very gentle, but yeah, very protective.
Yeah. So I can see why it was done in that case, because it'd be like, I know that they would have to shoot my ghost if they were trying to hurt me. Anyways, as in Kimberly's case, Ruth was not located anywhere nearby. She wasn't found until October.
Damn.
So August, September, 3 months later. August, September, 2 months later, excuse me.
Right.
That is when somebody found a purse and skeletal remains and a dismembered skull were located in a wooded area. Dental records confirmed that the remains belonged to Ruth, and there was also evidence that a tube sock had been tied around her neck, which initially led detectives to believe she had been strangled. However, an autopsy determined that her cause of death was a gunshot wound to the abdomen.
Oh, so she bled out. That's not a quick death, man.
Pretty much not. Yeah. No. Now, we have couple number three. 2 months later, on December 12th of 1985, this is the one that really got to me. 36-year-old Mike Reimer and his 21-year-old girlfriend, Diana Robertson. Have you noticed a pattern here? You're good at picking up patterns.
Older partner, younger?
15-year difference.
Yeah.
Every instance. Yeah. Yes. Except for maybe the first couple.
Yeah, the first couple, I think.
They were right around the same age.
Because they both met in college. I mean, there might be an age difference, but I don't think it's going to be a 15-year.
Anyway, so 21-year-old girlfriend Diana Robertson and their 2-year-old daughter, Crystal, left Tacoma in a 1982 Plymouth pickup truck. Okay? They were headed for the Nisqually River to check on some animal traps Mike had set up in that area and search for a Christmas tree.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That afternoon, in a Kmart parking lot, 30-some miles away from where they were supposed to be, Krista was found walking around alone in this parking lot. When she was noticed, she was sobbing incoherently, and every attempt employees and customers made to locate her parents turned up nothing. So they called the police. She was placed in a temporary foster care home because nobody knew who this child was.
Right.
And her picture was splashed all across news broadcasts and newspapers all over the state of Washington. It was as a result of this media attention that her grandma, her maternal grandma, saw her picture and sought out to obtain guardianship of her. When her grandmother asked her where her parents were, all she could say was, "Mommy is in the trees."
So wait a minute, I thought that they went out by themselves. Did they leave with her boyfriend? Where's boyfriend at?
The mother, the daughter, and the boyfriend.
Oh, okay. Then I misunderstood because no. I thought that you said that it was just the mother and the daughter.
No. The boyfriend was involved, was there too.
Gotcha.
Unfortunately, this little bit of information offered up little help as it was too vague to launch a proper search party investigation.
Okay, yeah.
Because in this area, if people don't know, there's lots of trees.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. Anyway, so the case quickly turned cold. Since there weren't any substantial leads. Well, it was a cold case until February 18th of 1986. Okay? When another motorist happened to discover the 1982 Plymouth pickup truck and Diane's remains were nearby in a vast forested area off State Route 7.
So not too far after, too much after the disappearance.
No, but still,
long
enough that they're still, you know,
scavengers are going to get the body.
Yeah, an autopsy revealed she had actually been stabbed a total of 17 times, and she also had a tube sock tied around her neck.
Wait a minute, hold on. I'm a little legitimately confused because.
Okay.
So, our first couple is bound, throat cut, right? No bullet hole, nothing like that.
Correct.
Okay. Vastly different being our second couple who's shot.
Correct.
Which is different.
Yes.
Different MO. Now, you're telling me that whoever this is, and the only thing that really links them is the age difference in these last two.
And the area.
The area and the tube sock. Stabbing somebody that many times is a crime of passion.
Right.
In a way. I mean, that's not a spur of the moment, get it done quick thing.
Correct.
You've got to be really enraged. There has to be passion behind it.
Yes.
Because that's force. You're coming down, bam, and stabbing.
Correct. Because we discussed that in the Price case.
Yes.
Craig Price.
Right. So we're talking three vastly different methods of killing.
Yes. You're catching on quick.
I am so... I don't feel like I'm catching on, to be honest.
You're actually tying the pieces together, and you're kind of leading...
Freaking confused.
Right. Okay, well, anyways, so authorities descended on this area with their canine search teams, looking for more evidence and any sign of Mike, because he's still missing.
Oh.
The boyfriend, the dad. Okay. The girl's dad.
And in the first two, it was the women that were missing. And
for a long period of time. Yes. However, he was not to be found. It's as if he just vanished into thin air. Okay? Upon searching the couple's truck, they found the front seat had blood stains across it, but the stains had been there and exposed to elements so long that they couldn't get a DNA, anything, you know, blood type or anything off of them.
Right. Degradation in
the
sample.
Yeah, they were degraded, yes. And there was also a manila envelope with the words, "I love you, Diana," written on the front. Diana's mother said she believed the handwriting to be that of Mike. However, there was no conclusion on this matter as the analysis performed on the handwriting stating it was inconclusive. Huh. So when they tried to do a handwriting analysis, the expert said, "We really can't tell if this is his or not." Okay. Needless to say, due to the findings in the vehicle, authorities at that time theorized that Mike was the prime suspect and may also have been the one to murder Stephen and Ruth earlier.
Justifiably so.
Right. Well, not so much. He remained the prime suspect for decades, as no other bodies were discovered and he was nowhere to be found. Okay? They determined him to be the main suspect since he had a history of domestic violence. Because prior to her death, he had physically assaulted Diana a number of times, even getting arrested in October of 1985. But they always worked out their differences and stayed together.
Okay.
He was a roofer in Seattle and an accomplished animal trapper. So they determined he had the know-how to survive in the wilderness.
Yeah, it makes sense, yeah.
Right? Okay, add to that Diana was discovered with a tube sock tied around her neck like Ruth, and they never located him or his remains. Okay?
Right.
Prime suspect.
It makes sense to me.
Yes. Made sense to me, too, until March of 2011 when hikers came across a partial skull that was determined to belong to him. And it was found only about 1 mile from where Diana's remains were found that February in 86. And they determined his time of death was approximately the same time as hers.
Ah, Christ.
Yeah, only they could not determine what his method of death was, because there was only a partial skull.
You're talking decades later.
Yeah, you're talking decades later.
You've got animals, scavengers, yeah. And weather.
And up here, the weather doesn't get that nice in the woods.
Right, and plus insect activity alone.
And forest fires, everything.
Yeah, I mean, you got a lot going on.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to talk about theories on this case.
Okay?
There's several. There have been a number, suffice it to say, though, there have been a number of theories regarding this case. None of them hold any substantial weight. Even though Ballard was convicted of abducting, torturing, and raping two women in Wyoming, that was his crime in Wyoming before he extradited back here.
Right, that's the truck driver.
He didn't kill those women. And although he confessed to murdering Edward and Kimberly, none of it fit his MO of his other rapes.
The whole thing doesn't fit. Like I said before, who the hell is going to worry about putting on gloves? Right. And make the mistake of grabbing or touching the outside
exactly.
of the car. You're
exactly.
aware of fingerprint transfer.
Exactly. If he did actually commit those murders, there's absolutely no tie to the other two cases because other than the heavily forested areas where the bodies were located, nothing was that similar. Okay. Now, at one point, authorities thought they had a compelling yet unidentified person of interest.
I'm just itching.
Huh?
You're giving me a look, wondering what I'm doing.
Oh, I thought you were trying to get my attention, and I was like, what?
No, dude? No, I'm sorry. That's me.
No, that's
pointing.
Okay.
Like, I'm just,
yeah,
I
I didn't see the point. I just saw the hand raised like he was in school.
Maybe I need to get a smaller monitor.
Yeah. At one point, authorities thought they had this compelling yet unidentified person of interest, because apparently an unknown male showed up to a wedding reception where some of the couple's friends were. He was looking for Stephen, the 27-year-old male from the second group, and he seemed quite pissed. When the friends asked him why he was so mad, he said that he and Stephen had a dispute because Stephen allegedly damaged his the guy's motorcycle. However, that lead never panned out.
So, hold on. I was getting confused. Was Stephen and his 42-year-old girlfriend, were they married or just seeing
each other? No, they were just seeing each
other. Okay, that's what I thought. I thought they weren't married yet.
No. Okay, so since the autopsy on Mike couldn't determine his cause of death, other than to rule out a gunshot wound to the head, as no damage was indicated that kind of trauma, a minute number of people still believe him to be the culprit on some level. And this is why. They suggest it is absolutely possible that he killed Diana and then committed suicide. Possible, yes.
Okay.
However, let me throw a wrench into that scenario. It doesn't explain how Crystal was found 30 miles away in a Kmart parking lot.
That's exactly what I was kind of thinking myself.
Yeah.
I want to know how this little girl got now, 30 miles away. She
maybe
didn't hike it.
He killed Diana, took Crystal to the Kmart, and then went back to try to bury Diana's remains. Still doesn't hold water. No. That one doesn't make any sense because you have to consider how Diana's remains were found. She was found right outside the pickup truck.
Yeah. And that's,
okay.
Yeah.
And don't you think at some point, when little Crystal was telling people, my mommy's in the trees, she would have said, my daddy brought me here and dropped me off. You know?
Right, exactly. She would have implicated her dad.
On some level. I believe she knows. I mean, I believe she saw the killer, but she was two.
Well, I got to give kudos to the killer for not killing the kid.
You do. You really do.
Kind of a dick for killing the dog, yes, because I'm a dog guy.
Yes.
But you didn't kill the kid, so you get a few points there.
Okay. Now, here's a common theory that's held by law enforcement and among all the web sleuths out there, that this was the act of an unidentified serial killer who is and was behind all of the murders.
I agree with
and
that.
And he just, because there are some instances where serial killers, they do not follow the same MO from time to time, because if he's not experienced or gotten in his groove, he's still testing out ways.
Was there a hoop stock involved in the first murder too?
No.
Okay, I didn't think that there was. So I'm almost willing to rule out the first murder because no tube sock. I'm thinking that the age of the two victims were probably a lot closer than 15 years.
Correct.
No gunshot wound.
Correct.
But
there was no gunshot wound in the third couple either.
Okay, but in both cases, wasn't the vehicle found relatively close to the body? Or am I missing something?
No, you're missing something.
Where was the vehicle located on the second murder?
Didn't say. Let me go back.
I think you did.
Oh, hang on.
Because that's how they found that 27-year-old was they saw his car.
No, they found his body.
Oh, they found his body. I thought.
Yeah, it doesn't say anything about finding the car.
See, that's what I would be curious about is where's the vehicle?
Yeah. There's nothing saying they found his car. They found the body, the dog, and then they found her later.
The calling card's not there. That's except for it being in a forested area.
Okay.
It shares that commonality.
Yes.
But there's no tube sock.
Yes.
But that could be an evolution. I'll give it that.
Yes.
But there's...
Because they theorize that the tube sock was not used as a means of like strangulation or anything like that. It was used as a means to lead these people around and control them. Like a leash.
It's a calling card. That's what the hell that is.
Yes.
So I'm willing to dismiss the first murder.
Okay.
I don't think
that it's
related, because the other thing that you didn't say was that were the other two bodies bound?
There was no evidence that
the other two couples, I mean.
Harkin's body was found in a sleeping bag. Didn't say if he was bound or not, but he was in the sleeping bag.
That's the end. He took a bullet to the head.
Yes.
So you don't need to bind him.
Right.
So that steps away from the first couple.
Correct.
The second couple? How'd they...
There was no evidence that she was bound.
Is there any pictures of her body in situ?
The only thing they show is... I mean, there is a picture of her, but all they show is her, like, neck with a tube sock around it. There's nothing indicating her arms or legs or anything was bound.
Okay, because that's what I'm curious about.
And nobody knows whether he was bound because...
Well, yeah, that's... You know, I mean, so... If he was, there's right. no way to find out because you're talking decades and...
Exactly.
That piece of rope, string, or whatever is long... Exactly. Long gone by now.
Exactly. So this theory is out there and so widely accepted because all the murders happened in a short span in the same vicinity with similar MOs about how the bodies were found, you know what I mean?
Oh, no,
not necessarily the killing style.
But, you know,
yeah,
you're talking, we're just outside of Seattle with these bodies right here, right?
Yes.
We're talking like Kent and then if you got to go to the coast right. or, and if you go to Tacoma, from Tacoma, that's a huge population right there.
Right.
And there's no rule that says that there can only be one serial killer.
Oh no, there's
in an
not.
Area. Matter of fact, no. the evidence, the right. Historically, the evidence for that speaks to the contrary of it. That at any given time,
well, yeah, because look at Green River Killer was running the same time Ted Bundy and the I-5 Killer were.
Oh, Green River ran way after them.
Well,
too.
Way after, but you know, during that same time frame too.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So much so that they thought Ted Bundy was the Green River Killer for a while.
We could have up to 15 serial killers
or
more just in Portland.
Right. And the only thing that is they're basing all three of the murders on, you know, is the two specifically because of the tube socks around their neck. However, also considering the distance the males and the females' bodies were from each other in all three cases.
Oh, okay. Because... The first one was found about 2 miles away.
Correct.
The second one was...
The second one was found... hang on, I gotta go. I'm scrolling back up.
Scroll on, Big Mama.
Let's see. Oh, it doesn't say exactly how far away she was. It just says it was quite a distance.
Okay, and once again, that's subjective. What's quite a distance? Cause
right.
I know,
well, and the other one was a mile, mile and a half away.
I know some people that jog 5 miles a day, and they
that's
don't think that's
true
quite
too.
A distance. Me, you know what quite a distance jogging is?
Down to the driveway and back?
That's exactly
out
it.
Out the front door?
If I start jogging and I make it to the end of the block, I'm calling an Uber to take me home.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm just not going to happen. But a normal jogger, for example,
like my
would
pug.
Say, they'd be like, oh, that's not a big deal. I do 5 miles a day
because
I'm a lunatic.
Yeah. So the other one, and like I said, the third one was a mile, mile and a half from each other. So, you
okay,
know, you so have that.
Okay. So we got at least two of them, the first and the third, that their relative proximity of how far the bodies were moved are similar.
Right.
Okay. So
and they're both knife wounds.
Okay.
Whereas the second one was gunshot.
Ah.
I'm telling you, they are, but they aren't. This is why this one intrigued me so much.
I'm gonna throw out another theory after I light my cigarette. And like I said before, yes, I smoke, folks. I don't need your shit.
Okay.
What if it's not one killer? What if it's a pair?
That has been a theory. That has actually been a theory, and I didn't get into it because I didn't have enough information on it, that it was this guy and his cousin that live in that area.
And here's the reason why. Because I think of the differences between similarities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for example, and I've mentioned many times, I'm a guitar player, and I write.
Yeah, and you pick up on patterns a lot.
And I pick up on patterns a lot.
A lot.
But, okay, so I could have a guitar player that's my caliber, a master guitar player, but yet, we're not going to be exactly the same.
Correct.
Because everybody's comfortable in their own weird set of rules, especially with musicians.
Correct.
So, like, okay, in my band, you have Dave,
mm-hmm.
who's the other guitar player, David
right.
Sheets. Phenomenal guitar player. But if I said, hey, we need to sit down because I want to compose a classical piece.
Right.
I'm fairly sure that he would be 100% lost.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's way, way out of his comfort zone. Thank you. As opposed to where if he sat down and said, I don't know, okay, so Paul, the bass player, he's big into like really old stuff. So he said, hey, we're going to learn stuff from like the 1930s or whenever the hell he was born. I think
Paul's 1825.
I think he was a teenager in 1825. I call him Methuselah. But I'll be like, hey, I don't play the harpsichord. No, but seriously, but everybody's got their different comfort levels.
Yeah.
So this is why the couple or a pair, more than one, kind of makes sense to me. Because
it does to me, too.
While one is comfortable shooting them in the head.
Or maybe is not comfortable with up close.
Right.
Yeah.
The other one might like it.
Yeah.
Might like it.
Totally.
Kind of a lot.
I see. You know what? I see that. I see that. I mean, and that's where I'm leaning towards. I'm leaning towards that it was a pair. And this is what gets me is these people were never caught in Washington.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's to say they're still here, though?
That's what I'm trying to say is that because there's the last bit of any substantial evidence was back in 2011 when they found Mike's partial skull. There also appears to have been no similar murders in that vicinity since Mike and Diane disappeared. However, let's just say, let me throw this out there. Is it possible more murders occurred and the remains just haven't been found? This is a vast forested area.
Yeah. You know, I'm working on one called the Highway 20 Killer.
Right.
And it's about a guy named John Aykroyd.
Yes.
And it shows just, and this is here, but it plays into the rest of the forested area around the Pacific Northwest. Up on Highway 20,
yes,
you have miles and miles and miles and miles and miles
of forest.
Of not just forest. We're talking dense forested areas.
Yes.
And this isn't like a California forest if you go up to like Big Bear where there's trees, but they're kind of scattered a little bit, you know? We're talking heavily, a lot of brush, a lot of underbrush, right. Heavily forested. And the chances of somebody finding a body, if somebody takes it far enough out, is almost none. Because, and matter of fact, one of the detectives that I'd seen in the interviews said that most bodies, and this was evident in one of the bodies that was found later on, one of the first kills, is within 100 yards of the road, of the path,
mm-hmm.
In either direction.
Okay.
And so I'm thinking that there's either remains that haven't been found up here.
That's what I'm thinking.
Or the other thing is, maybe they changed it up a little bit.
That could be too.
If the murders might be the same, but maybe the calling card is different. I don't think these people are stupid.
I don't think so either.
I think that this person, and if it's one person, kudos, dude, you did a great job.
I still think it's more than one.
But yeah, my gut tells me it's got to be two, at least.
Yeah, because there, like I said, I posed a couple of different questions here, you know, like, for instance, you know, that the remains haven't been found. Did they stop? Because I'm looking at another one that I want to feature who he laid dormant for a couple decades.
I'm going to say no. They're not going to stop that quick.
I don't think so either.
Look at the escalation.
Yeah, look at how short a time span it was between each one.
That's what I was
going to
bring up.
Exactly.
It was a very short cooling down period.
Yeah. Now, there is also the possibility that maybe one or both, or he or she, was arrested in a different crime and was unable to kill again. Because, you know, there is that possibility.
Well, that's true.
However, I'm leaning more towards that maybe not to this day, considering how old the person would have to be, but they were still lurking around this area looking for their next target.
Probably. Or maybe they moved on to a place like Montana.
Yeah, that could be too.
If you're looking at heavily forested areas, Montana is a great place for that.
That's true, too.
Plenty of open space and everything in Montana.
Even Oregon, you know?
Oregon, Washington.
National Forest.
Right.
And, yeah.
Northern California.
Yeah.
You know?
There's just...
out towards the Redwoods.
It just left so many questions to me that I had to feature this one. I was looking at a different one, and then I was like, no, this one jumped out at me.
Because it said tube sock.
No, that wasn't why. It was because there were so many unanswered questions, and the MO was different yet the same in all of them.
Similarities, but like I said, I from what I've read so far on serial killers, while they do adapt and they can change, you're talking a vast difference in killing style.
Yeah, because you went from knife to gun to knife.
Yeah.
So that's why I hold with the duel, more than one person. You're not going
to have. I have yet to read one that shows instead of a progression, a regression.
Right.
So it usually goes like, let's say he first stalked women and broke into their house.
Right.
Well, usually, you know, and then I'll say something like, then he had his first kill because she caught him.
Yeah, she woke up and saw him or something,
But then it progresses from there. You know, then he started maybe raping or whatever. But there's a progression. You never see where it goes back.
Right.
To where he says, and then he just broke into women's houses and watched them sleep and sucked their toes and then left. You like how I worked the sucking toes thing in there?
I did, but that's another show and that was disgusting.
Her dirty, dirty toes after she was walking
outside.
Okay,
we're done. I just ate. That was gross.
You're welcome.
But no, you're right. And like I said, that is one of the reasons why I still believe that it was multiple killers. And I do not believe that that guy from Wyoming was involved at all.
Right. And look at the distance of the first car.
Yes.
10 miles away.
Yes.
So you're talking about, if you're talking about one person, think about what he'd have to go through. You killed the guy.
Yes.
Okay. He's dealt with.
You take the girl 2 miles away.
2 miles away, and you kill her, too.
Then you drive the car 10 miles away.
Right, because that has to be the third part. You're not going to drive the car 10 miles away and come back and kill the girl. That's
stupid.
And then,
if it's him, how did he get back to his truck after 10 miles?
Right, or his car or whatever.
Well, because he was a truck driver, so I'm assuming it was
truck driver
semi.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's another thing.
It doesn't hold water.
Because in my day job, I drive a semi.
You do, and
there's not exactly a whole lot of goddamn parking areas for my truck, even if I don't have a trailer.
Even
and I have
in the
a day
woods.
Cab.
Yeah, no.
Much less if you're up in the damn woods.
Exactly.
You've got a truck that's, 13 feet high?
Yes.
Ish, maybe 12, but, you know, all depending on what you have. And you're going to find a place to park it. But there's one more thing. If that truck would have been up there, or any other car, tire prints.
Exactly.
See, I focus on what you don't tell me.
Exactly.
There's no tire prints. They're not seeing any other footprints. And they
That's
found
right.
his body fairly quick.
Yes. And you would have seen markings from a semi because they aren't light vehicles.
No, they're not at all.
And
there's nothing you can do to get rid of all those tracks.
Nothing.
Especially if you're the lone gunman, so to speak.
Yes.
You can't exactly drive out of the forest and go back and get rid of all the tracks from a semi.
Yeah, cover all your bases and only leave one fingerprint behind.
Yeah, that's...
That's the only bit of evidence you leave behind. I don't buy it. I do not buy that theory at all.
I'm 99% sure that truck driver did not kill those people. Why he admitted to it is a mystery, outside of maybe he's just stupid.
Or wanted the notoriety.
Could be. Could be.
To be feared because he was already in jail under rape and shit. So, you know, it gives him some
murder
bit of
charge on there.
So, yeah. So let's give him some clout by throwing a murder charge in there because, you know.
No, that's true. That's very, very true.
You know, let's just face it. You know, rapists are looked down upon as the scum of earth while murderers are not.
No, that's true.
So. Yeah. So that was an interesting one, huh?
Very, and it leaves more questions.
It does leave more questions. And I even looked at forums where people were discussing it. And, you know, there was actually one comment from the lady who said she was Crystal herself that basically said, you know what, just leave me alone. You know, don't you think I've suffered enough? I lost both of my parents.
True. In a horrific way.
Yeah. Because people were saying, you know, well, you know who the killer is. You just, you know, your mind has just blocked it, so you should go under hypnosis or whatever. No, don't traumatize her even more.
Yeah, dudes, leave
she
her alone,
two.
Like, for real,
leave
man.
Her the fuck alone.
No,
you know?
Shit.
So
my kids would be traumatized if I got killed that way. My kids were adults.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Well, I'm pretty
and
sure.
And I honestly,
they,
I'm and I
sure
honestly
would.
Do not
I don't think
believe.
My kid, my son would, but
yeah, well, you know, your son's a horse of a different color, anyways. I honestly believe that if her dad had anything to do with it, she would have known that. She would have said something about "Daddy hurt mommy" or "Daddy dropped me off."
Right. 2-year-olds are very, very vocal about that.
They
stuff.
They are. They don't know that they're not supposed to say those things.
Right. That lack of filter.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what that's like.
Well, yeah, I had filters and then I lost them and yeah. Now I'm me.
Yeah. So, you know, so there is all that. And it just really intrigued me greatly. So, yeah. So happy birthday, Scott.
That is freaking awesome sauce.
Yeah. So if anybody else has any theories out there on this case, I'm more than I'd love to hear them.
You know what I would like is I would like people to start emailing us and maybe we can have an open forum where we actually have call-ins
that would
about
be nice
things
too.
Like this.
Yeah.
I'm, you know.
Because we can always revisit a case. And,
oh, 100%.
Yeah. Then just because we ended podcast doesn't mean that case is closed for us.
This one here, actually, I want to look into myself.
Okay.
Because I have more questions than what you presented.
It was featured on 2 episodes of Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, yay. That's not, but that's
one before they found Diana's body and one after they found her body.
Okay, that's cool, but that's made for entertainment. That's not made for fact searching.
That's true, too.
And I live close enough to that area, I can drive up there and pull police records.
Oh, this is true.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
It's just a day trip.
But since it's still an open case, are they going to share that information with you? Because it's not under the Freedom of Information Act anymore.
Maybe I can use my Jedi powers. This is the case I'm looking for. And they'll be like, this is the case you're looking for, Scott. Here you go. Move along. Move along, Mr. Alexander. And then I'll move along with my case files.
There you go.
You never
I'd like
know.
To see that.
Hey, my point is, it never hurts to ask.
That's true. That is true.
You know, and
that's true.
One thing that I can kind of prove to the cops if they were interested is I do have that uncanny ability not just to see patterns, but to see what's not being said.
Yes.
It's the bizarre way my brain works. I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything.
No,
but
I mean,
I've kind of shown that time and time again.
I will
and time
leave
again.
Stuff out on purpose just to see if you catch me, and you pretty much do.
Yeah, well, I think so, yeah, normally.
Yeah.
It's just the way my brain works. It's not what people say.
Mm-hmm.
It's the words that never come out of their mouth.
Yeah. So, yeah, so like I said, happy birthday.
Sweet. It's an early one. My birthday isn't until,
it's
well,
not
ever.
For another month, but.
Ever. I don't have birthdays.
Yeah, well, whatever.
I wasn't born. I was hatched.
I believe that. He's a lizard. People, lizard.
That's right. Hey, especially up here. I'm a lizard person.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to wrap this one up here. This is Ben. Oh, Brutal Nation. Jesus Christ, my brain.
Where were you just now? Were you up in the forest of...
I was. My brain was actually working
Pierce
the problem.
County up there?
Yeah, it was working the problem. This has been Brutal Nation. I've been your host, Scott Alexander, along with my co-host, Tammy, the Tam Tam Underwood. This has been a Twisted Blue LLC production, copyright 2021 by Twisted Blue LLC. We'll talk to you guys. Oh, hey, you guys can send us an email since I was mentioning that earlier. Jesus, where the hell am I today?
You're still up there on this case. I know that's where you're at.
At brutalnation.cast@gmail.com. Check out the website, www.twistedbluellc.com. You can get a hold of us there and check out the rest of the programs and podcasts that Twisted Blue LLC offers. We look forward to talking to you guys really soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.